Welcome to GRIT, the Real Estate Growth Mindset Podcast, hosted by Brian Charlesworth, founder of Sisu. Sisu provides growth automation software for real estate. You'll hear stories from real estate thought and technology leaders, team owners, and brokers on how they grew their business in a rapidly changing industry. You'll learn how to transform your brokerage and teams into a high-performing and analytics-driven business so you have a new, durable, competitive advantage against disruption in your market. So let's get right into it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the GRIT Podcast. I'm Brian Charlesworth. I'm the founder of Sisu and the host of the show. And here we are, February 29th, recording actually my first show of this year, 2024. And the reason being is my schedule has been hectic. But as of today, we will start on another weekly release of the GRIT Podcast. So welcome back, everyone. And today, I'm really excited about these guests I have on the show. They have been Sisu customers for years on the residential side of their business. But you guys are going to meet them here in a second. So you're going to meet Sharon, Kobe, and Katie. And Kobe, we got to spend some time at our house here in Scottsdale a few months ago. And he basically said, hey, we absolutely love what Sisu has done for the residential side of our business. And I would love to see if we could figure out how to leverage it for the investment side of our business. So I love that you guys are in the investment world. I have people from the investment world reach out to me all the time wanting to be on this show. And I'm like, what value could that bring to our existing customer base and our listeners? But why don't we kick things off today by just letting you guys introduce yourself. We'll start with you, Kobe, and maybe give a little bit of your background. And we'll move over to Sharon and then Katie.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for, you know, giving us a listen and giving us a try more than anything. You know, it's really funny. You said, you know, we met at your house at a private mastermind, and I'm sitting right next to you. This is my wife, Sharon, and this is my executive assistant, Katie. My name is Kobe, and we are the Speedy Offers team. That being said, you know, I went to Sharon. I was going out to Arizona. My business coach, Brett Tanner, runs a mastermind three times a year called the Be Wealthy Mastermind, which I'm part of, your wife's part of as well. And it's an incredible experience. Well, the night before, I guess you guys were hosting some sort of, you know, private mastermind slash dinner party just for something to do because you have a beautiful home in Arizona. And so I go to my wife and I'm like, guess what, babe? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, I was invited to Spring Benson's house for a private mastermind. And she's like, oh, it's super cool. Like, that's congratulations. That's really exciting. And then, you know, perfect husband and wife situation where Sharon has my email on her phone. And so later that night, you know, we're just like hanging out and, you know, it's like 10 p.m. She goes, question for you, Kobe. And I'm like, yeah, hit me with anything. She's like, did you get invited to Spring Benson's house or did you pay to go to Spring Benson's house? And I was like, well, you know, and the reality is yes, I was invited, but, you know, and I think it was just the cost of covering dinner in the other day. I didn't realize you guys were having a whole hibachi set up in the backyard with alcohol and everything. Yeah. So that was the reason for the cost. But it really comes down to my deep belief of like, you don't get what you don't ask for. And, yeah, you know, if you don't put yourself out there, don't just expect something to just land in your lap. You got to go make it happen. And so for me, I put myself in your living room. You know, I got kind of like quasi invited, not that special, not from either of you guys, from somebody else, actually. And I made sure I was there and I made sure you guys knew who I was and that we had the conversation that we had, which I believe got us to where we are today.
Well, I know that Spring did actually intentionally invite you and everybody else that is in Brett's mastermind, because she was coming down for that. And we're like, we might as well have a get together at her house before and bring additional value to all of these.
And she's fantastic. I mean, the content that she puts out and the coaching and training and what I've even learned from her is really cool. I actually met Spring about 12 years ago. We were both flying down for a class called Career Visioning, which was how to hire people, which I guess she's learned pretty well.
I guess she must have, since she's up to 100 agents now, right?
So, wow. Well, I'll let Sharon jump in real quick and Katie and go from there.
Hi, thank you for having us. My name is Sharon. So yes, while I'm married to Kobe, my background's been in recruiting. So that's what I've done the last 10 years. And in 2020-ish, you know, it's pandemic, we've been at home together, and Kobe decides, you know, I really want to get into more of the investment world. Had this idea of, you know, Speedy Offers. He'd been coaching with Brett. He's like, I'm either hiring a recruiter or you're going to come work for us as a recruiter. So I left my job. I really started helping hire agents, administrative staff. And then once we really fell into wholesale, I started as a dispositions manager. And so right now I really spend most of my time on the wholesale side of the business, working with investors.
Okay. And I want to dive into that side of the business here in a second.
Yeah, we'll go deep there.
Yeah. My name's Katie. I come from a background of college athletics. I used to run operations for Ohio State University as well as University of Virginia. And then during COVID, I moved home and Sharon and Kobe took a risk on me and hired me. I started here in June of 2021, so we're coming up on about 3 years. And I've been with them since the get-go when it was still Kobe doing the cold calling to find the deals, and he was primarily on the retail side. So I've been with the business since the beginning, and kind of anything that Kobe thinks up, I try to figure out how we can implement that into our day-to-day business.
So Brian, I think for the listeners here, if you don't mind, if I just jump in and say one thing, because I think it's going to create a ton of clarity for the rest of this call. So when I started as an 18-year-old, I started with my mom, Shoshana Socher, and we jumped in and we run a traditional real estate business. That last year, we sold about 200 homes. This year, we'll sell close to probably about 220 homes for about $80 million in sales. And then in 2020, I started investing more heavily than I ever had before. I was always buying rental, doing a flip here and there, doing it all on my own, putting everything in my car and just making it happen. And that's why I hired Katie. We created the brand Speedy Offers. And now we are a full investment company. And essentially the way that works is we do flips, we do wholesales, we do wholetails, we do rentals, we do owner financing, and we do hard money loans. And yeah. So that's a full-fledged business. That business alone has 12 full-time contractors. There's the three of us. We've got 6 acquisition agents, full-time sales manager, and what we love to call an international team as well in the Philippines.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so I want to back up a little bit because I think most of our listeners actually run a residential real estate team, very similar to what your mom, Shoshana, has been running for how many years?
For about 15 years now.
So about 15 years. So she's running this business for 15 years. You get into this business. And how long were you actually in that business before Speedy Offers came around?
A really long time. I got my license in 2011. And so when I was 18, Sharon and I were dating, we're high school sweethearts, and Sharon was in college locally, and I didn't know exactly where I wanted to go. I was thinking about going to school in New York. My dad, who's actually like a Harvard grad, you know, got his PhD from Cal and taught at Stanford and some of the biggest schools out there, was the one who said to me, you know, maybe instead of just going to school right away, if you're super interested in sales and business, your mom's doing really well, why don't you get your license over the summer, defer for a semester or two, and see if business is for you. And if it is, then go to business school and do that thing. We'll still pay for it and we're happy to help you. But if it's not, you know, then you know you don't have to go waste 4 years in business. And
Did this come from a college professor?
Not only a college professor, I mean, somebody who's taught literally all over the world and has, you know, real experience in that academic world. And I'm one of, 6 children, and, you know, my two older sisters both, you know, went to school, got degrees, and, you know, that's really cool. And I want my kid to go to school potentially if that's what he wants to do, but so I'm not against it or for it, and it's whatever's for you. But for me, I was able to jump right in. And instead of going to college, I was able to educate at the highest levels by getting business coaching, reading books, going to seminars and doing all that stuff. So I paid for it and I went to school. I just didn't go to formal school.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, college is becoming less and less popular every day. And I think it's because the world has gotten to where you can learn so much on your own and just through all the different means, and especially in the real estate world. I mean, you guys know you can go to different trainings. There's events every week if you want to go to them, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. You can grow. Especially in the last, I would say, 3 to 5 years, it's gotten really popular.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you were in that business. So you said 2011.
2011 to 2019 is really like the marker, I would say. And then 2019 is when we got pregnant with our son. And I realized that running ragged as a realtor, I think I'd sold 78 homes that year, and a lot of GCI, which is gross commission income, not a lot of net income. And so, you know, the vanity was there, had the fancy watch, the cool house and the Mercedes, yet didn't have anything to show for it. And I didn't want to be a phony to my son, and B, I wanted to make sure I was there on the weekends and evenings. And when I started, you know, when I was looking at what I was doing that was working at the highest level, it was the investments. It wasn't, you know, no. All of that was a catalyst from the real estate businesses. So the traditional business has been the catalyst and still is today. It's the reason why we're able to have the investment business.
It feeds the investment business.
Oh yeah. And they work in amazing synergy, which we can talk about.
So most team owners do not have an investment business. I know this. Okay. So there is a group that's been coached by Brett Tanner that most of them probably do have an investment business. But I would love to hear the story of you started doing investments, and it was just you at the time, right, Kobe?
Just me.
Making investments. How did you start doing that? Walk us through how you went from being an agent that sells real estate to being somebody that's actually buying homes.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, A, there's an element of risk. B, you can take out all the risk if you know how to underwrite a deal. And so as a realtor, all we do is underwrite deals, meaning that we just think of it in a different way. We price listings, right? And so I was, you know, from 2011, which were some pretty hard times in the residential market, especially in Ohio, because Ohio got hit later in the economic shift. So when everybody else got hit 2008, 2009, Ohio saw it heaviest 2010, 2011. So I was getting in some of the most turbulent times, you know, and so these properties were distressed. I was representing investors, helping them buy homes. I was representing investors then once they bought them and they flipped them, selling them, and they all had this terrible product, yet they all sold, right? And I would look at these deals and at, let's say it sold for $200,000, take a 3% commission. So you end up with $6,000. And for me, then, you know, by the time it goes through all the different things, I ended up with two on a good day, right? So I make $2,000 on a $200,000 deal. A lot of times these were out of state investors. I was finding the contractors. I was helping them pull together the money. So I was, you know, connecting them with banks and hard money lenders, right? I was doing their like final walkthroughs because they weren't here and punch list. Then I was listing the home. Then removal of contingencies after inspections came up, and I had to help them deal with that because I wanted the deal to close. And then they'd walk away with this like bag of cash, right? And I walked away with my commission. And
so they're walking away with $100,000 or whatever it is, and you're walking.
Yeah. And the best part was they'd always say, "Oh, I'm losing money." They'd go, "I'm losing money on this one." And then when that one closed, they'd go buy two. And I'm like, "Oh yeah, we must be losing money here, right?" And so I started underwriting these deals and trying to figure out, because I was doing it for other people, right? And I had such a realtor hat on that I didn't realize at some point I could become the investor. And I think if you want to know the mindset behind it, I talk about this a lot. I was just at Keller Williams Family Reunion and I talked about the concept of self-worth. And if you want to grow a massive, massive net worth, I realized that I had to have a massive amount of self-worth. And so I realized I had to like be worthy of what I was doing. And so I had something I had to kind of train myself on, that I was allowed to have a big net worth, and I am worthy of growing a really big world, and I can be the investor.
Well, I think thinking bigger is, I mean, what holds each of us back is what we feel we deserve, what we feel we're capable of. And it's always our minds that hold us back, has been my experience. So if you can think bigger, which is why we have shows like this, right? Like the Grit Podcast, number one, because grit is a fabulous thing. And we all have all these things we face in our lives that are challenges, and working through those and in business. But I love that you were in this world, you had your blinders on, you were selling homes, and then all of a sudden you went from having your blinders on to opening up like this and saying, "Oh, wait a minute, I'm doing most of the work anyway for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I might as well be the one making the big payday each time." Is that kind of how that happened?
Yeah, I would say for sure that's how it happened. And I think it was also based off me going like, well, what do I want to be worth in, you know, 10, 20, and 30 years? And can I do it doing what I'm currently doing? Or can I use every single piece of my skill that I had as a buyer's agent, a seller's agent, a realtor? And can I use that in conjunction with being the investor? I think a lot of people just like leave what they're doing and jump to something else. Like, no, like we're growing the real estate team heavily, right? You can probably see our real estate team inside of CSU. Like, we're growing that every single day. We love that business. That's our family. And yet—
bread and butter. How many agents do you have on that team now?
How many agents? We have nine filters on this.
Nine agents on that team. Yeah. Okay. So—
and then I would say the next stage of it was figuring out like, okay, I'm running ragged, I'm disorganized, I need some help in my world. How do I find a way to get super organized? And so the best way to get organized is find the smartest people that either you know or that you can hire. And that's what made me, A, go to Sharon and say like, "I need your help," because Sharon was running in a really big corporate world and running, you know, had a pretty impressive job. She was massively organized. I was massively disorganized, right? And I was like, this is something we need to go do together, because she was helping me motivate myself and get to where we wanted to go, but I couldn't do it. And then when
how is that working together?
How is it working together?
Is it hard? I mean, a lot of couples, I know for a while when I jumped in to help Spring grow her real estate team
for about a year and a half.
I thought it was a challenge.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it at all, but.
No, I think because both of us have a vision and we're both really driven people, we set goals for ourselves. But at the end of the day, I still consider real estate a helping field. You're helping buyers, sellers, investors. And for me, I'm helping the people on the team. So for me, it's how can I help everybody who's on our team grow a bigger life through sales? Because that's what we've been able to accomplish. And then working in tandem with Kobe, he's very energetic. He has a lot of vision and it's just putting that then on paper and making it happen. And I think that takes collaboration and Kobe is really easy to work with. And we're just so busy. I think that at the end of the day, sometimes I don't even see him. And then it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, how was your day? Even though we're in the same building.
Yeah.
I was on my side. You know, I think that I get this a lot. Like, how's it working with your mom? How's it working with your wife? And I'm like, well, find me other people other than your family who will care more than you. Right. Yeah. And how do you find people that care massively? And I mean, we got lucky sitting next to Katie right here. Right. When we went to hire Katie, truthfully, going back to self-worth and all that, I didn't believe I was worthy of hiring somebody not only with a college degree, but maybe with a master's degree, but also somebody who ran a really big world. I mean, Katie was responsible in her previous job for all the facilities inside of both when she worked for Ohio State University and for UVA. And like, that's a massive job. If you think about it, you think these massive buildings where they play basketball or the football stadiums, like that was her role, right? She had to deal with teams and deal with coaches and deal with all these. So going and hiring the best people, which for me was first my wife and then Sharon helping us hire Katie, has been like the catalyst to the success we're having today. And just to give you an idea, like we did $1.7 million in net profit last year in our investment business alone, right? That's not a GCI number. That's not how much equity.
That's money going in your pocket.
Yeah, that's $1.7 million in net profit. And this is a business that didn't exist 3 years ago.
Yeah, so 3 years. I want to come back to that because I think there are probably a lot of people listening that are like, okay, I want to start this, but how do I start this? So I'm going to go back in time here in a second, Kobe. But before, yeah. I'd like to ask Katie, what is it that they did that made you be willing to leave and go from these large organizations, universities, a career you loved to, I'm going to go work with Kobe on this startup he's got, you know?
Yeah, to be honest, it's an entertainment industry. I was always working when my friends would want to go to these games or to these concerts. So as we all know, during the COVID pandemic, entertainment industry went under to nothing. And so there was a fear of job security as well as just a lot of headaches and going back and forth. So I made the conscious decision to leave the entertainment industry.
Okay.
I'm from Cleveland, so I decided to move home. And truthfully, I was just applying to anything that had operations, logistics, events, anything kind of that was in my wheelhouse. And I applied for this job. And in talking with both Kobe and sharing just the ability to build life by design. And for me, it was a lot of work-life balance coming from, again, entertainment. I would be working evenings and weekends. So similar to Kobe wanting to get out of from the traditional real estate, he wanted his nights and weekends. I wanted my nights and weekends. And Kobe is so motivational. And was really, he opened my eyes to the world of real estate. When I started, I didn't understand the difference between under contract date and a close date. My friends are like, oh, we're under contract. I'm like, cool, let me come see the house. I'm like, oh no, it's not actually our house for another 4 weeks. So it was a huge learning curve, but Kobe, just anything that he dreamt up, I was able to help with. And that's my skill set of taking what he wants, understanding it, and then regurgitating it out to certain people, and then being able to forecast out of, if this is where you want to go, these are the milestones and working backwards so I can set up the team for success.
And I think, Brian, if you're listening to this or and, you know, maybe for you or maybe for somebody else, there's a huge takeaway in some of the stuff Katie just said. And there's a huge takeaway as the owner, too, of your company, who's thinking always about how to get the best talent. And I remember during COVID listening to a podcast, and the podcast was talking about talent. And it was talking about how we might be in the greatest opportunity time for the best talent out there. And when you think about it, you know, talent comes your way sometimes, and it doesn't always come the way you think, right? And so, you know, the job that Katie took probably wouldn't have been interesting to her, right? 6 months or a year earlier.
Yeah.
But because of circumstances, it opened up an opportunity to go hire super, super high level talent. And now my mindset is, well, there's no reason to ever hire somebody who's not the most talented person that you can possibly find. Because if you don't, you're just holding yourself back. And that's our growth is based off of like massive talent. I can only have so much inspiration before you need to put in systems, implementation, people, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I was going to hit on one other point there. Timing is crucial, as you stated there, Kobe. And in addition to that, I think there are so many people in the real estate space, this being a podcast, this is a business podcast, but real estate specific. What I see is most people hire from within the real estate industry. And if you do that, you're really limiting yourself as far as what you're going to get, because there's so much talent there from outside of real estate that can bring those business skills into real estate. Most people in real estate are salespeople, right?
Right.
So if you need a great ops person, you probably want to go outside of real estate. Not necessarily, you don't need to find someone that necessarily understands real estate, because that can be taught, right?
Yeah, I mean, her Katie's skills and how much she had done, like volume wise, to me, the excitement was that she had lived a really big world. She saw how massive operations ran. And so coming into a small place, she could think and scale. To me, somebody else who could, I didn't need her to have the vision of where we were going. I needed her to be able to have the vision of how we were going to get there based off previous experience of seeing a really big world. And so to me, that was the really exciting part when hiring her.
Yeah.
To add to that, having no real estate knowledge, Kobe was able to teach me real estate the way he sees it and the way he operates it. And so I really, current day, can be like, okay, this is the solution. This is the problem. I know what Kobe's going to say. So I can be three steps ahead of him and give him everything that he needs. So yeah. I think it was a huge benefit having no experience or no prior knowledge.
I mean, I would add, that's a great point, Katie. And I would add that even if you're building just a regular real estate team, in my opinion, you're better off bringing in new people that you can teach your ways instead of bringing in people who have been in the industry for 5-10 years and have their bad habits, right? So great. Let's step back a little bit. You had all this motivation, Kobe, to say, hey, I want to get a life. I want to be able to build wealth. I want to do all these things. Like, how did you go about, let's talk about the first home you ever bought.
Yeah, happy to talk about that. So, I mean, the first home I ever bought was when I was 21 years old. I bought my first home for me to live in. And it was just a mediocre bungalow, 1,500 square feet. It's actually the first home Sharon moved into. When we got married, she thought it was disgusting and we had to move right away. And, you know, from there, I bought a rental property before I should have bought a rental property. Biggest mistake is buying a rental property when you have credit card debt, by the way, right? So credit card debt, they charge you 27% interest. You go get this amazing rental that gets a 12% cap rate, so you think, before you have to place an AC unit or a furnace, right? But meanwhile, you have more interest being paid to the credit card companies than you're gaining. So I think a lot of people make that mistake. And so I bought a rental property. And then in 2017 or 2018, we sold our home that we were living in, right? We bought a new property with an FHA loan, which created so we had a good amount of cash from our previous home. Sharon had money from working in high school and working in college. I had a bunch of credit card debt, no money. And we went and took that money plus Sharon's money and we put it and we bought a home for $75,000. We flipped it and it sold for $180,000, creating a net profit of about 70 grand. And then we did another one. And our thought originally was,
what year was this that you bought?
2017.
Yeah, we
just got married. We got married in 2016. So idea originally was, how do we create a tri-income? Where the original investment idea before all the coaching, all the stuff was, what if we could find a way to make 25 grand per flip and do one per quarter, which would make us an extra 100 grand a year so we could go do cool stuff? That was literally, right?
Yeah.
That was our conversation. It's like, you're working in corporate recruiting. I'm a realtor. What if we could make an extra 100 grand a year and just live a badass life? Like, that's pretty much like, we wanted to travel the world and go see cool things and do cool things, but we wanted the funds to be able to do it. So that's kind of that was a catalyst.
Yeah. So this was only 7 years ago. And I think, you know, we as individuals, we always think, oh, I can do this year. And we always overestimate what we can do in a year, but we actually underestimate what we can do in a decade. And if I look at you guys, I think this is so true, because like what you've done in 7 years and where you have this business today, like that is not a very long time to to get this business to where you are today. So
for sure. And that was, I mean, really it's 3.5 years that those first 3 years were just kind of casual, right? That was before we were like, let's do this for real.
Yeah. So that in 2017, that is when you were seeing these investors, you were on the real estate side, seeing these investors making the money and you said, I'm going to go do this myself. And you actually did a flip when you experienced that.
Yeah, I pretty much saw it happening from 2011 to 2016, 2017. And that's when we kind of jumped.
Okay. So it took you 6 years to get up the courage to say, well, I'm going to do this for myself.
I think if you're listening to this, you go, well, I really want to be an investor, but I don't have the money. That's what everybody tells me. I can't tell you how much everybody comes to me and goes, Brian, Kobe, all I want to do is flip a home. All I want to do is be an investor, but I don't have the money. And my friends and family are poor and broke. And so, you know, I can't do it because of that. And that's just the limiting belief. That's your mindset. You know, it's just like the Brett Tanner always says to me, like, well, Kobe, is that your truth or is that the truth? And it's like, well, that was my truth for way too long until I realized like there is money out there, right? OPM, other people's money, right? Or find your own money, go save up, maybe change some of your lifestyle habits. Do I need to be driving a Mercedes and wearing custom suits every day? Probably not. I probably could have saved a lot of the money that I just wasted as a young, flashy kid and built a bigger life faster.
Yeah. Great, great advice. So now you have this company called Speedy Offers. When did Speedy Offers come in as an actual entity? Instead of you guys actually buying a home here, buying a home there, you actually have this company now and it's a focus. In addition to your real estate team, your real estate team feeds this investment company. But talk about how you went from being, okay, I'm going to do some homes here and there to, no, this is a company that I'm going to focus on.
Yeah, I mean, it was all based on the mindset of scale and it was based off the idea of our deal hierarchy. So originally our company is TSD Ventures. So our real estate, traditional real estate team is the Socher team. And so we created an offshoot called TSD Ventures. It was the Socher team ventures. And, you know, pretty much when I went to my mom and I was like, hey, you know, I want to go way deeper into investments and really make my focus investment, the investment world. And so the idea was we would take the profits or a large amount of the profits from the Socher team. We would push that to TST Ventures. And then I, the leader of TST Ventures, would go invest that money, right? And TST Ventures is now the holding company of Speedy Offers. Speedy Offers is our acquisition company, right? So we're a cash offer acquisition company. Our goal is to make, you know, selling your home as a cash offer simple and easy. And we do that really, really well. And so Katie and I together, I would say on that side of the world, really went and took, you know, the holding company of TSC Ventures, we built that with the flips and all that to be able to go then create the branded acquisition company that we have today.
Does your mom have ownership in TSC Ventures?
Yeah, my mom and I are 50-50 partners in both businesses, actually. So I'm a 50-50 partner in the traditional business and she's a 50-50 partner in the investment business. And we
That says a lot about how intertwined these companies are and how...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, guess what happens when somebody doesn't want to sell their home in a cash offer?
If you've been enjoying Grit, please help us continue to grow the channel by leaving a 5-star review and sharing it with a friend. Now back to Grit.
They go list it. Who are they going to list it with? How can I make it so that when somebody doesn't buy with TSD Venture, with Speedy Offers, that then they go list it with the Socher team? Right? Yes. It's like the best guarantee offer in the world. You drive on the highway in any city, in any state you go to. And what do you see on the billboards? You see guaranteed to sell your home or we'll buy it, right? Well, what if your guarantee was like, hey, we'll make you a cash offer. And the underlying thing that maybe you don't say until you're in that appointment is, or we'll list it, right? And that's how we, you know, you might be thinking like, well, you know, the wholesale and investment business is sketchy. And let me just take that misnomer out of here because every single appointment we're going to, we're going, hey, here's the cash offer we can offer. We're investors. We're here to make a profit. If you're interested in selling it for market value and you would consider meeting with the Socher team, our partners, we might be able to help you net more money by putting the home on the market. What makes more sense for you?
Yeah. I know Spring went down this road for a little while and she's no longer really doing it, but they definitely play into each other because you're basically giving them an option. We'll pay you this much or... We can actually, in her case, they were saying, or you have these other companies that will pay you this much, or and you give me them a third option, we can list your home and see what the market will give you. It's all a matter of convenience for you, right?
I think the a la carte options for the seller is so important. I think if you stick them into one category, that makes people feel squeezed. And if you give them options, they get to choose if they want the lower offer with the great terms, or they want a little bit more tough terms within, you know, inspections and longer closing dates and putting it on the market, people walking through, but getting a higher price at the end of the day. And that's their choice. We allow them to make that choice.
And you've clarified it just like you just did, right?
Mm-hmm. Every single person.
It's your options. What's best for you?
Yeah. How can we? Because at the end of the day, we want to serve people. We want to help them, right? We're not trying to steal homes from anybody.
Yeah. So let's talk about how you get in the homes. You know, there are a lot of people out there calling and setting listing appointments, calling expireds, calling this. You guys are, I'm guessing, doing marketing. But let's talk about what marketing you do and how you actually get yourself into their homes so that you can have that kind of conversation.
Do you want to talk about the getting in the homes at all and mention the marketing?
Yeah.
Cool.
You'll start with that.
Yeah. So in terms of marketing, we have two strategies, right? We're really simple. I think the biggest thing in creating a large business is I thought it had to be massively complicated, right? And the reality is very simple can scale really big. And so we have two ways of getting into homes and setting appointments. One way is we have a dialer that we use. We're making sure, if you're listening to this, be careful with the do not call stuff. We are very, very particular and follow all do not call lists and regulations, but we have an incredible dialer that we use. We also have a mailing campaign, and also just I use a company, and the mailing campaign is just incredible. And we're really specific on how we run reports and how to do all that. And I'm happy to go deeper into either one of those things if you'd like. But
how many people are on the phones?
Yeah, we have
a dialer. How many people do you have?
Yes, we have six people on the phones at one time. We do power hours of dialing. So the way that our dialer works is it calls 10 people at one time for each person. So if you have six people on the phone, calling 60 people. So it calls out to 60 people, then somebody answers the phone, and then like it goes to one person, and then it ticks off. And so it keeps going round robin. And that's one of the ways we've had so much success in the dialers. Most dialers just call one person at a time. You get a voicemail, and then it goes next. And I've spent a lot of time working to make our dialer to the point where there's really no wait time between answers. And so we can go get, you know, 50 contacts in 50 minutes or 50 contacts in 3 hours, depending on how long the conversations are. But there's no wait time in between answers.
Yeah. And so those people dialing, that is their full-time job. They are not actually going out of appointments
So they are going out of appointments. Yeah.
The way that we currently have it set up is you join us and you're a junior acquisition agent. You transfer into acquisition agent and then senior acquisition agent. So when you just start off, we have you on the dialer and you might be setting appointments, but you're going to be tag teaming with somebody who has been on appointments, our typical acquisition agent. So they're going through the entire life cycle. Why right now we think it's important. I want the agents to see it, the full life cycle of a deal, from being on the phones to going and meeting that seller to getting into contract. We've definitely talked about having just a calling team versus then the people who are going into the appointments. And at some point as we grow, we might change models. But for right now, same person who is on the phone is that same person going into the home, which also makes the seller a lot more comfortable. They already have kind of established that rapport. We've taken it, you know, a step further with our branding. So all of our agents are on our website. You can see their photo. They're coming out with business cards. And so that was something that was really important because, like you said, there are so many people trying to buy a home. How do we professionalize this art?
Yes. So you said acquisition agent, Sharon.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you have separate agents for this business versus the real estate business. Mm-hmm. And this business is more focused on doing listings.
Yeah.
Buying homes. And the other business is more, it's probably doing listings and buy side is my guess.
Well, yeah. I want you to think of Speedy Offers as an off-market traditional team. So we run Speedy Offers exactly like everybody runs their traditional real estate team. It mirrors it, right? We have our own office space. We have our own swag. We have our own branding. And we're, as acquisition agents, their job is to get the property under contract. Once they get the property under contract, they bring it back and dispositions then takes over. And we decide what disposition plan makes sense, going back to the five disposition plans we talked about earlier. And so that way they can then, so their only job is lead generation, going on the appointment, locking it up, next. You know, and so that allows us to kind of flow faster in that way.
Yeah. Okay. So we were here a few months ago. I don't know. What was that? 3 or 4 months ago?
Yeah.
In Arizona, you came to our house. We had a mastermind And one of the topics that people wanted to talk about was investments. So you got up and shared your investment strategy. And then you came back, sat down, and then afterwards you came up to me and said, hey, you know what? We really love the way Sisu helps us manage our real estate business. Can we look at doing something on the investment side? And I basically said to you, yes, our team will help you do that. And let's try it out and see how it works. And you're going to have to set up a separate instance of Sisu. And so you've now done that. And I would love to hear, like, that was 3 or 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Like,
what's transpired there, and has that had an impact on your business?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when I came to you and said that to you, I was like, look, like, I absolutely love, as an owner, all hours, right? We're all, as entrepreneurs, we're up in the middle of the night. What do we love to look at? Some people love to look at Instagram. Well, I love to click on to Sisu and see what's going on in my business, right? What's my pending GCI right now, right? How many deals
we have? What am I going to make this month, right?
Yeah, how many deals do we have closing? Like, did somebody not set an appointment today? Who didn't make their calls? And that could be a 4 a.m. situation. And if you don't really agree with me, then I'd say you're not that passionate about your business. And
I love it. I applaud you.
And so we had that going for the retail business, and I was just obsessed with it, right? And by the way, new systems are tough on me. Like, I have a really hard time with new systems. Sisu is so simple to look at. You know what you're looking at. It's so simple to get around. And this isn't like, you know, you're not paying me to say this, but like, I just loved how it flowed. And every CRM I was ever on just always claimed that they were going to do what you guys do. Like, and we didn't need you guys also. And it just wasn't true. It just, like, I never could get all the information I would like. So instead of having to call someone like Katie and go, hey, where are we with this? I'm able to just like scroll on my phone in 10 seconds and find it. And so I was in love with it on the realtor side. And yet on the investment side, we were living in spreadsheets. We had a P&L. And then at one point we built out, you know, inside of a platform, we built out pretty much our flow. And it was great. And it's what got us to where we are. But I kept feeling I was missing something. It was like I was checking out one side of the business, but I couldn't really look at the other side of the business. And so that's what made me kind of push you. And then, you know, I would say Katie made the dream come true, because there's no way I would have gotten us to that place.
Yeah. So Katie, you've been in the weeds setting up Sisu. You knew Sisu from your other business, right?
No, I have.
You did not. Okay.
When I first started with Kobe in 2021, the retail side was in it. And I would go in to pull reports every week, but I wasn't in the weeds at that point. And then, so up until really October, November, I was not familiar with Sisu whatsoever.
Okay, so Sisu is brand new to you as of, let's just say November, October. Let's say October.
Yep, brand new.
So you were not familiar with Sisu. You hear from Kobe, you know what? I want to try out and see if Sisu is going to work for our investment business, because Sisu has not been focused on the investment side. Although we've always had our eyes on it, saying we should at some point move into this, but we haven't. So,
and let me just say, Brian, I'm just going to interject for Katie here. You know, I go to Katie with a lot. You know, like, Katie gets the full Kobe brain dumps at all hours, in a good mood, in a bad mood, super motivated after a mastermind, after an event where you're just all jacked up. And I come back and I just, you know, I kind of unload. And I came back from Arizona and I had gone to your mastermind, and then I went to a full mastermind afterwards, right, for 2.5 days. Yeah. And I came back and I specifically remember telling Katie, hey, the mastermind was amazing. I'm not going to give you 600 things. There's one thing that's really, really important to me that I believe if we can do this at the highest level, you will absolutely love it too. And she was like, okay. So instead of coming to her with 60 things, I came to her with one thing. And
the one thing. There's
the one thing.
Great color.
And because of that, I think that that helped us a lot. And I really did believe that they would be surprised that I wanted another system. Right? Because systems are tough on entrepreneurs. Yet I can tell you wholeheartedly that if you weren't on camera or were on camera, and this is a little bit ass kissy maybe, but like, we love being inside of it because it allowed us to like take out dysfunction, which I'll let Katie talk more about.
Yeah. So
well, before you go there, Katie, I want to add one thing to that, Kobe, because you say one thing I would hate is adding another system. I'm the same way, which is why I built Sisu, because I was helping Spring build her business and we had 6 or 7 systems to do what we do in Sisu as one system. And I still didn't have reporting at my fingertips.
Yep.
So So that's exactly why we built this company. But so go ahead, Katie. So he came to you with this one thing. Thankfully, it was just one thing. How did you feel? Yeah. How did you feel about that at that time?
Not gonna lie, I was a little like, okay, if I build this out, will you use it? I was a little nervous because with a lot of things in our investment side, we want to stay in tandem with our traditional real estate team, which is great. But a lot of times I'm putting a square peg in a round hole. How can I take what's made for traditional real estate and make it work for us? There's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of differences.
Yeah.
And so we had a quick Zoom meeting, and huge shout out to Daniel Bailey on your team. He was able to explain Sisu and show what it was all capable of and how I could manipulate and make it work for us.
Daniel's amazing, but thank you. I'll pass this along. Daniel, there's your shout out. Thank you so much. I love you.
So it took about 6 weeks, him and I meeting once or twice a week, and we kind of just took it off in segments of, okay, this is, I showed him what we were doing in monday.com, which is the platform we were using. And I think that was the connecting piece from the spreadsheets to Sisu that we were missing. Monday really allowed us to level up, but the issue was there's so much disconnect between myself or Sharon or our team of who's going to relay this information. Why isn't this updated? These graphs are great, but they're out of date. There's always an asterisk of margin of error. Mm-hmm. And so then Kobe, it was just, again, perfect timing going out to the mastermind. He was like, if we could get our system in Monday to this, why can't we level up and get it into Sisu? And so that obviously for me was like, if this is going to solve a problem of the constant disconnect or the constant, hey, have you followed up with the agent? Where are we at with this? Then I was all for it.
I think it's like, we're at the point now, and I want Sharon to talk about a little bit how she's using it for dispositions and transaction coordination, because I think that's like just the secret sauce sometimes inside of this whole thing. And yet I think that we like it enough to where if you were to ask like me or Katie, like who came up with the idea of, you know, using Sisu, like I think Katie takes like the, she'll be like, oh, isn't it great that we got into Sisu? And I'm like, isn't it great? That was my idea. You know, like, it's like, that's kind of where we're at with this. It's pretty cool to see like how you can grow something so quickly inside of a system and kind of where, and we can talk about the numbers of where we're at, where we're going. And it's pretty cool to see like the trajectory that we're on.
The one thing I want to point out here is for all of you listeners, every conversation I've had with Kobe, the one thing I know about Kobe is he is an executor. So if he hears an idea, he doesn't think about it, he takes action. And that's just something I want you guys to think about, because To be successful in life, you have to take action. Don't be afraid of failure and just go do it and figure it out.
I think that's with everything, like you said, right? I hate when people say they don't have time to work out. And I go, well, like, that's because you don't make the time to work out, right? Yeah. Oh, like for me, you know, my dialer is not working. Okay, well, let's go through 5 different dialers until we find the best one on the market. Maybe it's not inside of real estate, which it's not, right? Let's say our marketing campaign isn't working. Well, what can we tweak? What needs to be changed? Why isn't it working? And then how do you optimize everything you're doing? And if you don't care about optimization, then you're not going to grow something really big or really scalable.
Yeah. So you were wanting to hand it off to Sharon to walk through some of those processes, and then we can talk numbers.
Yeah. I think if I had to sum Sisu in one word in this business, it's communication. I think communication makes a good agent, makes a bad agent, makes a great team, makes a bad team. For me, before Sisu, there was a lack of communication and then over communication because there was no communication. And that's between myself, Kobe as the business owner, Katie looking at the back end, the agents who are the ones bringing in the deals and want to see, you know, are they under contract? Are they getting paid? Where are we? The stages. So in my mind, I think communication is huge and what has made us so successful in such a short amount of time. But it's because it's all in one platform. So I know when a new deal has been signed. I know when something needs to be sent to the title company. I know when I'm ready to send something out via marketing. I know when I have a buyer under contract and it's going to be wholesale. I know when the closing date is coming up. I know everything and I only have to look in one place, and so does everybody else. So nobody has to come to me. I love people who come to me with questions, but we're also a very resourceful team. And we try to teach other people around us to try to figure out something. And then when you've exhausted options, come ask questions. And that's what makes a good leader and what makes a good employee. And Sisu has brought us to that point where I don't get many questions anymore that aren't very thought-provoking and take us to yet the next level, something that I haven't thought about. So it has changed my world.
Sharon, you just let me know, like you just made my day, because that is my vision of turning realtors, turning salespeople into great leaders. That's really the vision of Sisu. If you were to just say, what do you guys do? We turn these salespeople who have never run a business before into great leaders, right?
And I think that's how you can go out there. Like, I'm listening to Sharon, I'm going like, man, wow, listen to the passion that she has around what she's saying. It's pretty cool as like a husband, but I've been able to watch Sharon and Katie become leaders inside of my world, but I believe it's because we have the knowledge behind it. The funny thing I was going to mention when Sharon, I was almost trying to pause, you know, it's hard to pause your wife when she's talking, but I was trying to pause her for one second. I was going to say like, we were death by gotta minutes, right? Like literally our whole company was based off of somebody coming to somebody else, and it could be at any level. But if you've got 10 or 15 or 20 people and you've got 47, hey, Kobe, got a minute? Or Kobe going to Katie. Hey, Katie, got a minute? Somebody going to Sharon. Hey, Sharon, got a minute? And all of a sudden, everybody's disrupting their flow and their work for a got a minute that now is in one place where if you didn't look there first, that why? Hey, did you check? That's on Monday. Did you not check? Or now the conversation is like, hey, I got a quick question for you that's not inside of our system. Do you have a second? Think of the difference in that kind of conversation. Because how frustrating as a leader is it to say the same answer or to find a question or find an answer? And I'm pretty sure for Katie and for Sharon, it was really frustrating as the owner for me to come to them, me come to them 47 times. So I'm disrupting their flow for a got a minute for something that's now inside of a system.
So how many hours a day do you think you were doing of got a minutes that you've now eliminated?
You are spending your whole day in got a minute sometimes.
Do you have an answer for that, Katie?
I don't have like a specific, but it's night and day, the amount of time that we've bought back across three of us, as well as our sales manager with Sisu. One thing I'm pretty sure our agents probably would tally in that on how many times I would go and ask them. We used to do Google Forms. So you go on an appointment, you have to do a Google form to say that you set an appointment, you went on the appointment, how the appointment go. Then that would go into the spreadsheet go into Monday. So it's this convoluted system. Now they're in Boomtown. Boomtown syncs beautifully with Sisu, and all they have to do is log into Sisu, click into a transaction, and everything that they have to do is right there. So that saved me going after our team and like, hey, have you done this? Have you done this? And that's allowed me not only to step back into my position to support Kobe in different business lines, but it's also allowed Sharon and Alan, our sales manager, to manage the team so much better.
So Katie, that's something I talk about frequently, and I would love for our team to talk about more often, which is, I mean, how much time you've talked about these Google intake forms you used before Sisu. Mm-hmm. You would then put it where? Into a spreadsheet?
Yeah. So they would do the Google form, and then the results would go into a Google sheet. That Google sheet.
How would you get it from the Google form to the Google sheet?
Within the Google universe, you can just link it.
So through that. And then from the Google sheet, it went to Monday.
Then have someone manually enter from the Google Sheet to Monday.com.
And how long did that take?
Our international team did it. So it would take anywhere between 15 minutes to like 30, 35 minutes per transaction for them to get everything in. And then they would be reaching out to me saying, hey, I don't have this information. And I'd have to go either chase Sharon or Alan or the actual agent themselves to get the information.
So, and everything was slow and I wanted it fast, and I would go on there and there wasn't up-to-date and accurate information. And I'm going like, well, I need to know how much pending GCI, you know, how much, you know, income do I have coming in right now? How much I need to know where we're at with here and there. And we don't have the information. How can we not have the information? And it's like, well, that's from yesterday. I'm like, I don't want yesterday's information. I want today's information.
So Kobe, you want GCI. GCI is still not in Monday. How did you get the GCI at that time? Were you putting it into a spreadsheet?
Katie would have to make graphs.
Yeah, we would manually have to like enter it. And then even then it would always be one off of, well, this is what it should be, but then we had to do this or split among two agents. So we never had accurate information, but it was all having to be manually entered. And so if we had a price reduction and that column was updated, it wasn't a spreadsheet. So it wasn't, if this happened, then this was updated. So we'd have to manually remember. Yeah. So then every week when I would be doing the flash report for Kobe saying, hey, these are the metrics for our business. He's like, but this doesn't make sense.
Pretend we took a bathtub and then we took a bunch of wheels and then we like found an old motor of something. And then we just like started like duct taping stuff on. And then we're like, okay, now we can drive. We were like driving down the street in a bathtub. And then it's like, someone's like, here's the keys to, you know, BMW 7 Series. Would you like to drive it, sir? And then you just like get in and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, this is so different.
We didn't know how functional it was until we had the solution. Like, I think any of us, we thought we were doing good. It wasn't like we were going slow. Business was doing great, but CSU has really allowed us to see all of the potential that we could do. We didn't know we were missing.
Yeah, what's great though, is great better than what you did before, or is great because you have a massive vision and plan and now you need to go execute it?
Okay, so this is amazing, you guys. I mean, thankfully, my vision is something that you guys took advantage of. It's amazing how many teams get on CSU and maybe don't even fully implement CSU because they don't understand the value of all the time saving and knowing everything and being able to make the quick decisions and eliminating the duplicate entry and all the stuff that goes into that. But you guys went so far to say, hey, we want to implement this in our investment business. So honestly, when you came to me to say, we want to do this, I believed we could get it done and it would be valuable. But tell me, how has it been?
Yeah, I mean, we've been in the platform now on CSU for 2 months. We are surpassing.
We being Speedy Offers.
Speedy Offers, we've now been living in it since the beginning of the calendar year. And just in terms of being able to see our tracking pace for this year compared to where we were this year last year, or the goals that we're able to set within CSU, it's phenomenal. Like, we are on track to do double the amount of business. And I will say a large part of it is because of how organized we are. And the system is giving us the ability to run faster.
You know, you talked about our relationship. And I think I'd mentioned something to you. You know, if you work with a family member, you're probably used to, speaking of the Gottimans, you're probably used to, you know, getting home at the end of the night and, you know, talking about, usually instead of talking about the great stuff that happened, you find yourself talking about all the lagging things, right? All your lag indicators or all the things you didn't get. And Sharon, as a dispositions part, kept coming home and being like pretty stressed out because she didn't have the photo link and she didn't have the form and she didn't have the this and she didn't have the that. And she didn't, you know, she had to go into a spreadsheet to find this. And then she had to go into an email drive to find that. And then she had to go and she was in all these different places and it was giving her a ton of stress and extra work. And she was like, she kept being like, this is such a ridiculous field with how we're doing it. She kept being like, and so I now come home and I'm not saying that we never have a bad day, but I know that for Sharon, at least the conversations are never, they could be about lag indicators potentially. If we want to get into the negativity boat, but like our conversations are never around things that Sharon's missing. Does that make sense? And yeah. So you know, typically don't go home with your dispositions person unless you're married to them, hopefully. But if you do, then, you know, you hear all the different stuff about their day. And it's really nice to have a system to where you don't have to hear about those things.
And one of my most favorite things, because I mentioned for us, we're trying to help other people who this might be their first career in real estate. And, you know, while we've been in this field for 15 years and we've been able to reap the rewards and live this life by design, the ability for our agents to see their pace and their call, their appointments, how much they're on track to make, the challenges that our sales manager is able to run in the platform and have competition for the agent, it makes them more excited about their business and it makes business more fun.
Yeah. So is this something you guys, well, tell me, what's the numbers of your business? What's changed in the last 2 months?
So last year we did 48 deals on the investment side of the business. Our wholesale, which is the only, I'm going to talk about the wholesale side of the business right now, not the flip side and other stuff, but just the wholesale, created $324,000 of what I like to call GFI, which is gross fee income. And which is an average of like, I don't know, $6,700 per deal. This year, we had a goal of doing 100 wholesale deals and growing our average fee to about $10,000 per fee, which would create, you know, $1 million in GFI. Yet right now, we are on track for a little more than 100 wholesale deals and our average fee is $12,000 per deal. So, you know, we're trending in a pretty cool place right now to hit well over 100 deals.
Okay. So do you think, I mean, what having CSU on that side of the business, is that something that every investment business should have? Or is this something we should take to the investment world? You know, we have not done that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, I kind of, you know, I DM'd you like super excitingly a couple weeks ago, right? Like, I think, you know, I slid into your late night DMs, Brian. And that's what the young people say these days. Anyways, and I was like, this thing is incredible. I was like, we're not even using it to its full capacity yet, right? And I think that's probably always going to be because you're a developer and the development side is probably always going to hopefully be 2 to 3 steps ahead of where the person is inside of it, right? And we're not even using full advantage of it, but I was like, everybody is just so excited around it and just loves using it, enjoys using it. And because of it, if your systems are scalable, your sales can be scalable. See, most sales businesses run, they do a bunch of sales, they get super overwhelmed, they don't know what they're doing, and then everything kind of crashes and burns. So they might be really rich or doing really well for 1 month, and then they just crash and burn, you know, a month or two later. And this allows us to kind of, we're able to figure out like, how do you use the, you know, lead indicators to tick up? Meanwhile, like, you know, if you asked on the dispo side 4 months ago to Sharon, hey, could you handle 100 deals with just you and a VA in the background doing what you're doing? She'd be like, absolutely not. Would you agree? I would say we would need probably 4 people to do 100 deals, right? Like, I mean that wholeheartedly.
You need to hire 4 new people in order to handle that.
Which is insane, right? Mm-hmm. Cost-wise. And if you ask now, like, how many deals could we handle on the wholesale side? Basically,
easy, 100, probably more.
Like, it just doesn't seem stressful anymore. And so I think that's wild, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, that's the same thing we've tried to let our customers know on the real estate side, the residential real estate side is, hey, you know, you can get to 500 deals, 1,000 deals with one transaction coordinator, not 5. But one and a few people on an international team, right? Like you're talking about.
Well, let's talk about the international team for a second. For anybody who doesn't know, international team means VA. We just chose to not call our current VA. We want him to feel like he's part of the team, right? And, you know, we sent him a package. You know, it costs $185 to send 3 t-shirts and a hat to the Philippines, but it allows us to have really clear communication and expectations and standards with your VA. I hear a lot of people complain, oh, my VA isn't good, or my, you know, VA, you know, isn't held accountable, or my VA, I don't really know what my VA should do or how they should do it or what they should do. And it's because you don't have systems set up. So you just, and it's like, you go through the excuse, which all of us have done, where you go, well, I just have to do it. Everything is on me. No one knows how to do what I know how to do, or they're not going to be able to do it fast enough. And again, it's like, is that your truth or the truth? And now that we have the, you know, platform set up in the way that we do, you know, Ron, our international team, shout out to Ron, is able to go and run really fast and really hard inside of it as well.
Yeah. Awesome. You guys, I think we're about out of time here. It's been amazing. I would just ask you guys, like, if someone's considering getting into the investment business and hasn't, because most have not, right? This is a brand new opportunity. It's kind of like me at CSU now, we're offering mortgage JVs. And I'm going to our large team saying, hey, if you want me to build a mortgage business for you, it's yet another opportunity. But this is like a brand new opportunity for all of these real estate teams. What advice would you have for them to just, like, I'm sitting here listening to this and I want to do it, but I don't know how to do it. What advice do you have?
Yeah, I would say you have to look at a house. And when you look at it, instead of going like, I hope I get this listing, you should be going, I hope I can buy this. And if your answer to yourself immediately is, well, I don't have the money for it, well, then change your mindset and say, well, who does have the money for us? Or how could I find the money for this? And then look at, instead of making 3% of a commission, what would it look like if I wholesaled it? What would it look like if I were able to take it down and wholetail it, where you just buy it and put it right back on the market the next day with your traditional team? How much could I make if I flipped it? Last year, we made an average of $66,850 per flip. We did 23 of those. That gets pretty exciting pretty fast. And so if you want to figure out how to go build a massive world and a massive net worth, you have to be the investor. You look at the wealthiest people in the world, where do they make their money, or where do they place it afterwards? Both answers are real estate. And so you have such a competitive advantage by underwriting so many deals via being the listing agent, via being the buyer's agent. You've been in the inspections, you've been in the appraisals, you've done the thing, you know what buyers are looking for. You know, when they go into a house and they see a flip and they're like, the corners are ugly and the paint colors are just bland and there's punch list items that wasn't done. There isn't a closet in the master bedroom that really works for everybody. Like, you know what your people want. And so now you can go create the product, but you can reap the reward and be the investor. And I think that was the biggest mindset shift. And what I would just plug to everybody out there is like, go out there and build a massive net worth and a massive world and go help people and help yourself as well along the way.
Awesome. Kobe, Sharon, Katie, so great to spend time with you guys today. I think this is life-changing, honestly, for anybody that is listening that will take action on it. And, you know, the way you guys are leveraging our platform, it makes me happy because it lets me see that, you know, my vision of what I wanted to do to let help real estate teams scale in a single platform is actually working for those that fully go after it. And now you've taken it to a whole other industry. And I want to thank you guys for sharing with our listeners, like this ability to go create an entirely separate business that if they're doing it, will make them more than $1 million a year net in their pocket. So thank you so much for sharing that today, you guys. We're grateful to have you guys as customers and to be able to work with you. And I'm excited to continue to watch you guys grow and scale your business. So everyone, thank you for listening to our first episode of the Grit Podcast this year in 2024. And watch next week for the following to come on next Tuesday. You guys, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on our podcast. If you have an interest in a free 7-day trial of Sisu, go to sisu.co, sisu.co. Make sure that you use the coupon code GRIT, that's GRIT, to waive all your setup fees and receive a 10% discount on your subscription. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast and want to subscribe, search GRIT, the Real Estate Growth Mindset, on iTunes, Spotify, or Podbean. And with that, we'll catch you next time. Take care.